Father's Heart Ministries in Pensacola, Florida. David, I don't remember when we, you probably remember because you remember everything, but I don't remember how many years ago that we met, but I do remember a very significant visit in 2006 at the start of the year that touched off one of the amazing, most amazing years we've ever had here at Harvest Time, an amazing season of the Lord's favor and blessing. And David, you know what's really cool? Everybody who has come to us so far in these meetings was supposed to be somewhere else. And as the Lord would have it, their meetings got canceled or changed or rearranged. And David was supposed to be in Cambodia this week, but the Lord closed that door. And so he got on a plane to come be with us here. I do want to say David's with us again tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday evening. Jamie Dixon from Waterville, Maine will be with us. And I want to just tell you something about the Saturday schedule. We're doing something new this weekend, just to make you aware. We're having our regular worship service at 5:30, our regular Saturday night worship service that we have every Saturday evening at 5:30. I'll be preaching at the 5:30 worship service, and then at 7 o'clock we'll begin our renewal service with Pastor Jamie Dixon, okay? So just want to make you aware of that difference in the schedule. And then our friend Pastor James Levesque, that shy, quiet, retiring guy, will be with us on Sunday evening. Please get on your feet. Give your best welcome to our dear friend David Wagner from Father's Heart Ministries.
Move it, Will. Come on, give a shout to Jesus tonight. Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we magnify you, but we declare there is no one like you, there is no one above you, that you are high and lifted up tonight in Greenwich, Connecticut. You are high and lifted up in New England. You're high and lifted up in New York. You're high and lifted up in America. You're high and lifted up in the earth, God. Lord, we declare that, Lord, you're coming like a flood. You're coming like you promised. Lord, you're coming to do something we have never seen you do before. Lord, we declare right now that tonight that we are going to have all of you, Lord, invade all of us tonight. Come on, just say, Jesus, invade me. Jesus, invade me. Come on, lift your hands high. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that I have caused the earth to begin to shake, and I have caused the floodgates to be opened. For I have caused there to be an end to the spiritual drought in the land. For I am releasing the former and the latter rains together. And the Lord says that I am not just coming to touch you. I am coming to overtake you. I am coming to overwhelm you. And I am coming to cause you to live a life that is simply undone. And the Lord says that I am causing this to be a season and a time where heaven and earth collide, where heaven and earth begin to connect like never before. For I am making this one of those places, says the Lord, that shall be like a conduit, like a portal from heaven touching earth. For I'm opening the portals of revelation, and I'm opening up the portals of the supernatural. For I declare upon you, says the Lord, welcome to the summer of the supernatural. For I am coming with even greater demonstrations of signs, wonders, and miracles. And what others had thought was a river in the past will seem like a trickle in comparison to what I'm about to do. For I heard the Lord say, I go where I am wanted. I go where I am wanted. And because you have welcome, rolled out the welcome mat for me, I am coming not to visit, but I am coming to stay. For I am coming in this season, says the Lord. For I have searched for a habitation. I have looked for a dwelling place. I have looked for those who wanted me as much as I wanted them. For I declare to you that you can have as much of me as you want. And the Lord says that I will not stop and I will not relent until you have and you take all of me. And I am turning the chapter, says the Lord. For I have caused things to be revved up and I have caused things to be warmed up over the last few weeks. But I am ushering you into greater grace. And I am moving you even into a new season of invading the impossible. For the Lord says that I am the God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or even imagine. Which really means this: you pray your biggest prayer and I'm beyond that. You dream your biggest dream and I'm beyond that. You think your biggest thought and I'm beyond that. You imagine your biggest imagination and I'm beyond that. Welcome to the beyond. Welcome to the beyond. For even as it is written, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered in the hearts of men all the things that I am preparing for those who love me. I am welcoming you to that season of this is that. This is that which was prophesied. For I am coming just like I promised. For indeed, says the Lord, even I am coming to my church before I come for my church. And I am getting the bride ready. And I am putting a song upon her lips that will cause me to release all that is in my hand and all that is in my heart. For the Lord says, get ready, brace yourself, for I am getting ready to release to you the season of invading the impossible. I am causing miracles and signs and wonders to be coming and to be seen upon you. Revelation shall flow out of you like never before. And some will say, what are you doing here? Some will say, what is it that God is doing here? Let me make it plain and simple to you, says the Lord. I'm bringing you back to normal. I'm bringing you back to normal. For all the things I said you will do, you shall now do. All the things that I promised, you now shall possess. All the things that were written, you shall begin to see them lived out in your day. For I am accelerating things and I am bringing you to the place of promotion. For I heard the Lord say, because you have built me a place to dwell, I am coming not only with my presence, but with my glory. For I am causing this to be a place where the glory dwells. And I am making this place a gateway, a gate that would connect, that would open up the Northeast, that would open up even New York and New Jersey. For I'm pouring out and I'm pouring up and I'm pouring up and I'm pouring down. Some will come and get it and some will be exported. For I heard the Lord say, this will not be able to be compared to somewhere else or something else. This is something that I am doing for this place and this time and this season. And the Lord said, as long as you want me is how long I will stay. As long as you prepare, says the Lord, the material for the fire, I'll come and I will breathe on it. For I have looked not only for a fireplace, I have looked for those who would maintain the flame that I am releasing upon you. For I have lit the flame, but you must maintain it. And I'm going to cause this to be a summer of momentum. But the end result is not what happens in this room. The end result is what happens outside the walls of the church. For I am releasing to you the hungry, and I am releasing to you those that have cried out, God, if you're real. For I'm about to invade Greenwich and Old Greenwich and Stamford. I'm about to invade Purchase, and I'm about to invade Westchester, and I'm about to invade Eastchester, and I'm about to invade, says the Lord, the parts surrounding around this region. For the Lord says it will be a summer of souls. It will be a summer of souls. For more will be one to me in a day than were one in many years. I am releasing upon you the anointing of go ahead. Go ahead and release it. Go ahead and take it to them. Go ahead, says the Lord, and pass those that have been on the sidelines wondering and waiting for their train to come. This train is moving. I am causing this to be a season where I'm taking you where deep cries out to deep. I'm taking you into deeper waters. I'm taking you in over your head. And the Lord says that you can strategize if you want to, but I'm going to blow your mind. You can try to figure things out if you want to, but I'm going to exceed your expectations. For I am making this place a birthing center, a place where dreams come true, a place where the dreams of God become reality. Get ready, says the Lord, that I am coming with my own expectation. I am coming to release what I am believing for. Get ready, says the Lord, for I have anointed this place as a Bethel, as a house of the Lord, a dwelling place, a sanctuary. And I am making Greenwich a sanctuary city. For I am giving you an invitation, not to just host an outpouring, not to just host a revival, not to just host a move of God. But I am releasing to you the anointing and the appointing to be a host of my presence. Hosting my presence. Hosting my presence. Pastor Glenn, I heard the Lord say that I'm putting a new staff in your hand. For it shall be the staff, says the Lord, that people will see from a distance. And I am getting ready, says the Lord, to cause all those things that I have deposited into you over the years to begin to bubble up and more. For I am causing the apostolic nature on the inside of you to release my government in the earth in this season. For you have been a man of authority under authority. And the Lord said, there are some that will not get to go where you're going. There will be some that will not understand it, will not apprehend it, and will not go for it. But you must move ahead anyway. For I am releasing you into this season to be all that I created you to be. And the Lord says that this move of God will not come at the expense of your family. For it will not be ministry or your family. It will not be revival or your family. It will not be outpouring or your family. But it will be both and more. It will be both and more. And the Lord says that I am putting the mantle. I am putting the mantle of a reformer upon you. And I am coming with the reformer's fire in this season. For I am causing you to uncap the wells that were covered up. For even, says the Lord, I will cause even those mantles that were left out in the woods somewhere by Finney's, by the Edwards, by the men and women of God of Reformation and Great Awakening. I will cause those mantles to find you. I will cause those mantles to be distributed in this place. Get ready, says the Lord, for I'm about to demonstrate the book of Acts anointing. I'm about to demonstrate and release you into the season of demonstration. While others are discussing doctrine, I'm going to move you into the demonstration of the Spirit. While others are debating revival, I'm going to move you into the demonstration of power like never before. For son, you shall begin to see the resurrection of the dead. For I am going to cause this movement to be a movement like Ezekiel possessed, to prophesy to the dry bones and see them live again. And the Lord says that I'm going to cause this move to touch not only the assemblies, but it will touch the Lutheran. It will touch the Presbyterian. It will touch the Congregationalist. It will touch the Baptist. It will touch the Catholic. It will touch those that have been even traditional. For the Lord says that there will be some that will come and see. But more than that, I am causing this to be a church where people will go and be. Who will go and be and take the light of the gospel outside. And what you saw in 2006 with evangelism, you're about to see it explode like never before. For I am initiating, says the Lord, a harvest of souls. For it is harvest time for harvest time. And this move of God shall be a multi-generational move of God. It will not just be for the young. It will not just be for the middle age. For the Lord says, I will pour out on old and young alike. For this will be a move that will touch 3 and 4 and 5 generations all at once. Get ready, says the Lord. The heavens are open. The heavens are open. For I am making a Harvest Time Church a church that is passionate about invading the impossible. Ask me for the hard cases, says the Lord. Ask me for the incurable diseases. And I will bring them here and I will release the healing of the sick. For the Lord would say to this people and to this pastor, imagine a place. Imagine a place that people, as soon as they hit the town line, are healed. Imagine a place where as soon as they cross over the town line, that they're delivered. Imagine a place that the dead, when they hit the town line, are raised back to life. Imagine a place that many will say it's like heaven on earth. For the Lord says that it's not only going to be known as the miracle in Greenwich or the miracle in New England or the miracle in Connecticut or the miracle on the New York-Connecticut line, but this will be a movement that will touch the nations of the earth. For some will come and get it. Some will see and acquire the fire by watching online. And the Lord said that I have called this holy to the Lord. For my promise to you is this. If you will keep it holy, I'll keep on coming. If you refuse to hype things up, I will come like I promised every time. For I heard the Lord say that I want you even more than you want me. And the Lord says that I am turning the heart of this city, and I am turning the heart of the town, and I am turning the heart of the county, and I'm turning the heart of the state, and I'm turning the heart of a region. I saw a circle of fire going 300 miles around. I saw a circle of fire being drawn out of this place 300 miles around. It is a region. Get ready, says the Lord, for this will be a summer of supernatural. This will be a summer where I come like I promise. There will be nights that will simply be nights of glory where you don't have to do anything but come and sit. I'm going to heal the afflicted. I'm going to set the captive free. And I heard the Lord say to me tonight as we were worshiping, he brought me to Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. And he said, because this it was a place of honor that honored him, the Lord said to declare this word over you. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. I heard the Lord say tonight that he was going to be an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversaries. He said, for my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. I heard the Lord say that in this movement, he is overthrowing powers and principalities, that demonic dynasties are being destroyed. You will serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Come on, there is a realm of healing. There is an atmosphere of healing in this place that God will take sickness away from the midst of you. All you got to do is walk in, and sickness is about to disappear. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I am prophesying to you that in Greenwich, people are going to live longer. In harvest time, people are going to hit the century mark. There's going to be a burst of babies being born. There's going to be a burst of a new generation rising in this place. No more miscarriages and no more barrenness. No more miscarriages and no more barrenness. I will send my fear before you. I believe this movement is going to be known because the fear of the Lord that comes. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But little by little I will drive them out and from before you until you have increased and you will inherit the land. I believe this, that those that have occupied what belongs to you are simply taking care of it until you get there. Come on, there are some giants that you thought were your enemies, but really they're just preserving and taking care of what God has promised you. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Philistia and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land in your hand and you shall drive them out before you. Come on, I believe right now that God is getting ready to release all that he has promised to you. Come on, I saw you beginning to step in to a new place that was designed and be defined by God. And God is getting ready to redefine some of you in this moment that you are not, listen to me, you didn't come to a revival, you are a revival. You are what God is doing next. You are an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You are the next move of God. You are a sign, you are a wonder, you are a miracle. And I believe that God is not just pouring out in a place, but He's pouring out in a people. He is getting ready to invade, He's getting ready to inhabit, He's getting ready to pour out on you in such a way that it's going to overflow on you, and everything you come in contact is going to be touched by the power and the glory and the fire of Almighty God. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Holy is your name, God. Holy is your name, God. Come on, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord if you can. Come on, I believe there's an impartation of impartation in this place. Don't ask me to explain that because I can't. I just know that when you walk into an atmosphere that God has set in this place, that you step into an impartation of impartation. In other words, you become impregnated with what you just encountered. I believe that many of you right now, that God is about to birth supernatural dreams on the inside of you. Come on, I heard the Lord say on my way here to tell you that it's your time and it's your turn. It's your time and it's your turn. Have you ever been in a place where you thought it was your time, but somebody else took your turn? Yeah. Come on, it was like the man with the pool of Bethesda. He was there for 38 years, and for 38 years he watched the angel after angel come and stir the water, only to see somebody else go in and get their miracle while he stayed the same. Jairus had the attention of Jesus, and he said, Jesus, if you just come with me, my daughter will live. She's on the verge of death, but if you come with me, everything's going to be all right. Jesus was agreeing. He was walking with him, and suddenly something happened. His miracle got interrupted because the woman with the issue of blood came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But can I tell you something? It was still his time, but he just had to wait his turn. And in the waiting, God even performed a greater miracle. And I'm here to tell you right now, what you thought was the end of you is really just the new beginning of you. Where you thought you couldn't hold on any longer, God's about to move you in clearer and bring you into a greater miracle than ever expected or ever before. Come on, I believe right now that God is about to mark this movement. It is a movement of the Holy Spirit. It's a habitation of God, but at the same time, how many know the kingdom of God is always advancing? Luke 17 and 19 says, indeed, the kingdom of heaven is within you. How many know that what you're experiencing, what you're encountering, what you're hungry for is already on the inside of you? And God is fanning the flame. He's activating some things on the inside of you tonight. I believe that this is going to be a place of encounters with God. When I believe people are going to encounter God, some people are going to be driving and nobody's going to be in the building, but they'll pull on the parking lot and they'll encounter the presence of God. Come on, I believe that what is happening here is not contained in this room, but is going to begin to be exported from this room. How many are ready for your encounter with God? Come on, I believe this movement is about to be marked by prophetic encounters. Come on, this is a prophetic movement. See, everything got spoken before it got written. And I believe if you dug into the history of this church throughout the years, there were things prophesied about a revival that was coming. See, I believe that there were words spoken all over Connecticut. I believe there were words spoken all over this region on the Connecticut-New York border where people had been believing and praying for centuries, saying there's going to come a day where the Holy Spirit pours out. There'll be some extended meetings and a town and a city and a region will be touched by the Spirit of God. And guess what's happened? You just stepped into what God has been preparing for centuries. It's inheritance. You are stepping into a prophetic inheritance. Cohen, I believe right now that God is releasing a fresh impartation of the prophetic upon you. Cohen, I believe that the office of the prophet comes upon those called to the fivefold ministry. But I believe that there are many of us that God has called to walk in the gift of prophecy. Or to get stirred up when you feel the spirit of prophecy. I feel the spirit of prophecy in this room tonight. I feel Jesus the prophet walking in this room tonight. Come on, I feel the God who spoke everything into existence before the foundation of the earth in this room tonight. Come on. How many know that God could have done it any way he wanted to? But he chose to do something in a very specific way. When the earth was dark and void and darkness covered over the waters of the deep in Genesis 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters of the deep. And then he did something. He spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. How many know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And there are things that he's been speaking that are about to suddenly manifest upon you. Come on, I believe that there are some things that haven't happened yet because you haven't spoken them yet. But tonight, God is making a declaration prophetically over your life that your miracle is even in your mouth tonight. That quite honestly, that some of you right now, your miracle is in your mouth. It has everything to do with what you say, has everything to do with aligning your word with his word tonight. Come on, Amos 3 and 7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he speaks it first through his servants or his friends, the prophets." Now, I love that verse. I love it because it defines a lot of what I get to do around the world. But what I love about it, about that verse, is it sets something even greater up. It sets up for verse 8, which simply says, "A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" In other words, when you begin to hear what God is saying, it's what Pastor Glenn was saying a little while ago. Listen, tune in. Some of you are getting promoted. You're about to hear the voice of the Lord like never before. Lord, your servant is listening. What happens is when you hear the voice of the Lord and you hear what he says and you start declaring it out of your mouth, something miraculous takes place. I believe you could define that verse by simply saying this, that when you open your mouth, when the Lord reveals to you what he's about to do and you open up your mouth to declare it, the lion of the tribe of Judah gets up from his throne. He points his face to the earth and he lets out a roar of revelation. And I believe that there is a roar of revelation that's about to be released in a harvest time tonight, that God is about to release the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah that's going to begin to cause the earth to shake like never before. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? Can I tell you something? I've been in thousands of meetings. And the presence of the Lord was there. But the fear of the Lord wasn't. And wherever the fear of the Lord wasn't, those places are no longer hotbeds for what God was doing. Because the fear of the Lord, listen, it doesn't push me away, but it draws me close. The fear of the Lord lets me know that I'm encountering something holy, not manly. And when you encounter Almighty God, you'll never fear almighty men. When you walk in the fear of God, you'll never have to fear men. But I'm telling you right now that God in this movement is releasing the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, it tells me something, it's the beginning of a lot of things. And I believe that this is a place that honors the Lord, where the fear of the Lord is. Listen, I've known your pastor for a number of years, and one thing I know about him, he will never play with the presence of God. I remember a word in 2005 or 2006 that said God was going to move in this place because God knew that your pastor would not ever rob God of his testimony. That word has rung in me ever since this broke out and news of what was happening here got to me. I remember that word. That God is coming here because he knows that this is a people that will not rob God of his testimony. Nobody can say that Pastor Glenn did it, David Wagner did it, James Levesque did it, Brian Simmons did it, or any other person. We'll only be able to say God did it. Isn't that good to know? Come on, the fear of the Lord is coming. Then it asks the question, who can but prophesy? In other words, who's exempt from prophesying? How many know that the same Jesus in me is the same Jesus in you? How many know you didn't just get a portion? I got a portion, but all of him came in all of me. All of him came in all of you. When you got born again, he put his hands inside of your hands, his feet inside of your feet. He gave you the mind of Christ, the heart of God, and he anointed you to be an oracle for him. Come on, I believe that God's about to put on demonstration the prophetic power of what is happening in this place. That there are about to be many of you that begin to simply have prophetic conversations. That you're going to wonder, how did that come out of my mouth? It's just Jesus the prophet activating things on the inside of you. Come on, can I tell you something? When you open your mouth, when you declare, that's why Moses said in Numbers 11 and 29, oh, if all of God's people were prophets. He knew that if everybody would start prophesying and saying the same thing what God was saying, that the promises of God would come. That they would get out of the wilderness, that they would cross over into the place of promise. Come on, it's time to say what God is saying. Come on, God right now is coming to anoint your lips. I believe there is a coal coming from the altar, and God is about to release prophetic fire upon you. Come on, I believe that this is going to be a house with an Isaiah anointing. You're going to see the Lord. Come on, you're going to see Him high and lifted up. You're going to see the train of His robe fill this place. I believe the coal of God is about to touch many of your lips right now. Can I tell you something? The purpose of prophecy is not fame and fortune. It's not future and fortune. But it really has everything to do with revealing the heart of God. It always draws His children close to Him. It's always looking to gather up somebody else. How many know that Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says that the secrets belong to the Lord, but that which He reveals belongs to us and to our children, our children's children. Many of you right now, you're about to step into your prophetic inheritance. Come on, I'm telling you right now, it is not a matter of feeling good. It's not a matter of future and fortune, but really what it's a matter of is life and death. Because the book of Proverbs says that the power of death and life are in the tongue. And I believe that's whether you open your mouth or not. And God is releasing a prophetic awakening in harvest time. He's releasing a prophetic awakening right now in this movement in Connecticut. I believe there is a company of prophetic voices getting ready to rise up who aren't looking for a title, who aren't looking for a paycheck, but who are simply looking to be obedient as sons and daughters of God to declare what God is saying. Come on, it's a matter of life and death. A couple of years ago, I was in a place called Punta Fijo, Venezuela. And it's a strange place because it's desert and mountainous and on the ocean all at the same time. It's all of these topographies coming together. And it was super, super hot there. And we were doing this meeting, and we were doing pastors' meetings by the day. And pastors were coming, but none of them really wanted to be there. They just didn't want to be the only one not to come, so everybody showed up. It's just the way that it worked. And we made it through. And in the night meetings, God was moving, and people were coming to the Lord and being healed. It was great. On the last night of the meeting, we moved the meeting outside in this PDVSA club, which is an oil company club. And we were in this open air place where about 1,000 people were. And they decided that I was going to preach that night. And as we were worshiping, it was just one of those miserable nights, super hot. But more than the heat, there was a building to my right, and it was a wedding hall, and there was a wedding taking place, and they were dancing and being loud there. And behind me was a discotheque, and they were being even louder there. To my left was a thatch roof hut with a bar, and they were being even louder there. And I was trying to preach, but I couldn't even hear myself think. And it was one of those frustrating things where I couldn't get any traction. And so I just closed my Bible. I was ready to just quit. And the Lord said, keep preaching. So I started preaching, and right about the time I started preaching good, I was preaching the best message I ever preached until tonight. And all of a sudden I'm preaching, and all of a sudden the Lord says, stop. So I preached a little while longer in case it wasn't the Lord. And He said, no, stop. Speak to the woman on the other side of the wall. Only one problem. I couldn't see anybody on the other side of the wall. He said, speak to her. She's 26 years old. Her name is Anna Esther. And she just prayed what she thought was her last prayer. God, if you're real, speak to me. So here I am. And I just simply said, Anna Esther, you have long black hair. That was easy because most people in Venezuela had long black hair. Anna Esther, you're 26 years old. You're on the other side of the wall. And you just prayed what you thought was your last prayer. God, if you're real, speak to me. This is the Lord speaking to you. If you can hear me, Anna Esther, come through the wedding and come meet me in the front of this place. And then I went back to preaching, hoping in case I missed it, nobody would remember. And about 3 minutes passed, and here comes this beautiful 26-year-old lady with flowing black hair, tears and mascara streaming down her face. And she said, my name's Anna Esther. And she said, I caught my husband having an affair. I knew that he was having an affair. I found him in the discotheque with his girlfriend. And so I was going to sit in his car and blow my brains out so by the time he came out, he would find me. He said, right about that time, I stopped and I prayed a prayer. I leaned up against that wall and said, God, if you're real, speak to me. That's when I heard you speak my name. She gave her life to the Lord. She pulled the pistol out, put it on the platform, gave her life to the Lord. Her testimony is this. Her and her husband have been reconciled. They are now leaders in a church in Caracas, Venezuela. It's the power of the prophetic. Come on, I believe right now there's an impartation of that kind of anointing dropping on you, that you'll be in your workplace and God's going to release to you words of knowledge. You'll be in your school. You're going to get a word of knowledge about the girl next to you. You're going to be on the metro riding into the city, and God's going to give you a word of knowledge about somebody in the next car. And when you walk in there, I'm telling you, lives are going to be changed. Souls are about to be saved. People are going to be spared and begin to step into discover their destiny. While all of that was happening, there was a little something else going on. I didn't quite understand it. But there was these guys over in the thatch roof bar. And they were making fun of me. They were drunk and they were just carousing and making fun of me. And all of a sudden they went from laughing and making fun of me to crying. And so they decided to come find the man who made them cry and do him great bodily harm. So they began to walk towards where we were. And about 50 yards before they got to where we were, the power of God hit them and they fell to the ground and they began to crawl the rest of the way. They got to where some pastors were standing and told them what happened, and they came and they gave their lives to the Lord. They dumped out of their pockets all kinds of cocaine and marijuana and heroin. They were the three most notorious drug dealers in Punta Fijo, Venezuela. They had put all of it upon the altar and they laid it there. As they were laying there, all of a sudden the power of God hit them again. They got filled with the Spirit. They were just on the floor, just kind of rolling there and crying. And all of a sudden there was a man that came from the back and stood over them and wept. It was their uncle who got saved earlier in the week and said, if there's a way, God, will you please deliver my nephews from what I got them into as young men? It's the power of the prophetic. Come on, I'm telling you. And you may say, well, that's Venezuela. Can I tell you something? The same God in Venezuela is the same God in Greenwich. He's the same God in New York City. He's the same God in Stamford. He's the same God in Easton. He's the same God in Bridgeport. He's the same God in New Haven. He's the same God in Hartford. He's the same God in Newark, New Jersey. He's the same God. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is about to release prophetic power upon you. That you're stepping into what God has spoken before the foundations of the earth. See, I believe before the foundations of the earth, Jesus saw this moment. Come on, I believe that what's happening in this place over the last 5 weeks is an aha moment in heaven. You know that He's Jehovah Shammah. He's the God who's already there. Here's what I believe. I believe that God was sitting here on Mother's Day waiting for Pastor Glenn to be undone. He was just sitting here waiting for somebody to say, now show me your glory. And he was waiting there like an expectant father, waiting for you to get here. But can I tell you something? You're not just coming to a place of arrival. You're coming to a place of taking off. Come on, you're about to go to a whole new level. You're about to go to a whole new place. He didn't call you to go to meeting or revival to revival or outpouring to outpouring. He said, I'm going to take you from faith to faith and glory to glory. Come on, church, it's time to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Come on, you're about to have prophetic encounters. I release the anointing of Jesus the prophet upon you. I release dreams and visions and prophetic utterance, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I release upon you that anointing of the lion of the tribe of Judah that's going to release roars of revelation upon you. Come on, there's a roar that's going to come out of Greenwich. Come on, there's a shaking that's about to occur. Because the voice of one is about to come forth out of this place like never before. Come on, you're about to encounter him like never before. You're about to have some angelic visitations. I kept seeing John 1:51, angels ascending and descending upon this place. Jesus told Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. Where do you see the angels ascending and descending upon my body, the church? Come on, I believe that there is a portal of heaven that's opened up, that God is sending forth his messengers to carry out the word of the Lord. Now don't get freaked out by angels. They're not to be worshipped or adored. They have one assignment. They are the messenger. They are the messengers of salvation. They are messengers to the ears of salvation. They have an anointing to carry out the word of the Lord. Come on, they're ministering spirits to the ears of salvation. They have an assignment. When they hear the word of the Lord, that their assignment is released.
I had some encounters. I think the Lord knew I was coming this way. And so he sent me some unusual angels in a vision. The first set of angels that I saw, they had kind of these hats that were crooked a little bit. They had black suits and skinny ties, and they had kind of New York Italian accents. And when I encountered them, they just simply said these words to me: "You want us to take care of that for you?" Now, I can't help it. My accent is confused. I was raised in Chicago, lived in Wisconsin. If you ever get the chance, don't go there. And now I live in L.A. Now I live in L.A., Lower Alabama, with Bubba and the boys, not too far away from swamp people. We have people walking around with teleprompters, so we know what they're saying. It's really amazing. So I'm sorry, I can't do the New York mafia accent. But these angels were saying, "Do you want us to take care of that for you?" And I said, "Lord, who are they?" He said, "These are the mafia angels." I said, "The Lord has a mob squad. Holy Spirit hitman angels." And this is what I took away from that encounter. The Lord said, "Here's what happens, son. You engage in warfare that was really meant to be fought out between angels and demons." And I believe that God is sending some angels on assignment to take care of some things for you. Then I saw angels coming with, they had handcuffs on and they were handcuffed to briefcases. I said, "Lord, who are they?" He said, "These are the power brokers." And I believe that God's about to cause you to encounter some power broker angels to carry out the word of the Lord, to release provision upon you. And I believe that the Lord is sending forth in this place angels of generosity, because you have been a generous people. You've been a generous church. You've sown, and you don't even remember where you've sown, but God's watched over the seed. And God is stirring up angels of generosity to reciprocate and pour back to you. Come on, I believe that there's going to be something written over this house called PIF, paid in full. Come on, I believe you're not going to go in debt over outpouring a revival. I believe the God of more than enough is coming. Let me ask you a question. How can the God who's known as the God of more than enough be just enough? You're about to encounter the God of too much. Come on, I'm here to tell you, you're about to have prophetic encounters, angelic encounters. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God has angels working for us. John said, "I saw thousands times ten thousands times thousands times ten thousands." And if you, I'm not a mathematician, but if you study that out in Revelation, you'll find that there's some 20 trillion angels, greater than our national debt. Isn't that good to know? And if you take all the angels and you divide them by the number of people on the face of the planet, each one of us has about 150,000 angels assigned to us. How many know if you got that many angels assigned to you, you might bump into one now and then? Come on, you could be sitting by an angel tonight. Come on, I believe right now that God has, there's a stairway, there's a portal of heaven to earth ascending and descending in this place. A couple of years ago, last year I was in Colombia. I was in Ibagué, Colombia. The town is called Ibagué. The state is called Tolima. If you interpret it out of its indigenous vocabulary, this is what you'd find: city of death in the cemetery. More people, more missionaries have died there than anywhere else in South America. And I love going there. But it's a city that was filled with darkness for a long time. There was a bridge that people used to go and jump off of. They'd go from all around South America. They would come there just to commit suicide off of this bridge. And we went there and we were just declaring no more suicides and no more death. And I was preaching there for 3 days, and I brought my niece. She had just graduated high school, and for her high school graduation present, she wanted to go with Uncle Dave on a missions trip. So my sister said, "Are you sure it's safe?" I said, "Of course it's safe. I go there." And Grandma said, "Are you sure that it's safe?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, Mom, it's safe." And so I'm there and I'm preaching, and in the middle of preaching, the Lord says, one of those moments again where he says, "Stop." So I just stopped and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Speak to the spirit of suicide." So I just spoke to the spirit of suicide, and all of a sudden 28 people came running to the front. And the Spirit of God just hit them, and we just ministered to them. And afterwards, we left. The next morning, we got a call from the head of the cartel, the head of the mafia in Ibagué, Colombia, and said that we want to meet with you. And I said, okay, but in a very public place. So me and the pastor went, and while we were there, the guy said, I want you to tell me what happened to him. I said, what do you mean what happened to him? And the guy said, this guy has been with me for 30 years. He's never missed an assignment. He's never missed a target. He's my best kidnapper, and he's our best assassin. And we sent him there to kidnap you, but he didn't come back last night. And when he showed up at my house today, he was doing something that I hadn't seen in 30 years. He was smiling. And I said, well, what happened to you? He said, I came to do what he sent me to do. I was sitting in the back of the church because I know that the pastor always leaves with the guest speaker last, carrying the offering. So I was waiting for everybody else to leave and I was going to snatch you up. But as you were preaching, something happened against my will. I don't even know how it happened. I ended up in the front of the church laying on my back. And all I know is every anger, every rage, and every depression had left me. And he said this big angel of light or something came and he took something out of me and put something into me. And all I know is I'm changed. So the pastor, so the mafia boss said, so I need whatever he has. The guy gets saved in the cafe. We leave and the guy says, by the way, can you, points to the pastor, says, can you use that land over there? And it was the land the pastor had walked around for 7 years every day believing God for in the center of Ibagué, Colombia. And they went to the lawyer's office and they signed over the deed without, he just signed it over to him, no money exchange or whatever. And now the church is being built right there in the center of town. I'm just sharing a couple testimonies with you of what happens when you're a people in revival. Come on, God is about to make you a walking encounter. You're about to have prophetic encounters. You're about to have angelic visitations. You're about to have encounters with the provision of God. God will provide for you. Come on, I love one of the names of God. I love all the names of God, but one of my favorite names of God is El Shaddai. El from Elohim, Shaddai, the many blessing one. If you literally translate it, this is what you've got. If you need something and God doesn't have it, He will create it just for you. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you need something and God doesn't have it, He will create it just for you. It could be a job, it could be a body part, it could be, can I tell you something? Everything you need God to be, He already is. How many know? He doesn't have to become something, He already is. He's already Savior. He's already Deliverer. He's already Provider. He's already, how many know? He's already here. He's already there. He's about to meet you. I felt something stirring in me. There's been some things that have been, I've had the honor and the privilege of being a part of it. About the same time stuff started happening here, I was in Holland. I was just on a 4-day ministry assignment. I had my 12-year-old boy with me. We went, and the meetings were good, but all of a sudden God took over. How many like when God just takes over? And people started being healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And say we saw 200 Dutchmen saved, and 200 Dutchmen saved is almost like 200 New Englanders saved. A little bit easier. No, just kidding. And the Spirit of God just fell and people started receiving miracles. We've seen 12 people healed of terminal cancer, brain cancer, blood cancer, liver cancer, pancreatic cancer. Come on, we've seen bone cancer. We've seen the Spirit of the Lord just come just like that and change everything. God, I feel Him here tonight. Come on, I've asked Him tonight for the impossible. I've asked Him tonight to do what man could not do. Come on, I'm asking Him to do like only He can do. We've seen people delivered from morphine. We've seen people miraculously, the power of God come. We've seen 7 Muslims come. No way to explain it, but they just saw lights on in a church. And they came in and they began to ask, is this some kind of celebration? So they said, yeah, something like that. And I was walking out and they said, hey, Dave, will you pray for these guys? And I said, sure. And a bunch of them backed up and they pushed one guy forward. They said, he's stronger. He can take it. I wasn't even praying yet. I just went to put my hand out, and all of a sudden the guy fell on the ground. He said, "He is stronger. He is stronger. He is stronger." I got excited. They left. They came back the next day. They gave their life to the Lord, and immediately, even without explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they just started speaking in other tongues. There was a young girl, a Muslim girl. The doctors had given up on her on April 15th. She said she was laying there just thinking about how to kill herself. And she said, all of a sudden, a little light went on in my heart, and I just got up and took a walk, and I walked in here, and I didn't realize what was going on here, but I felt love and power like never before. Gave her life to the Lord, and the Lord immediately healed her of anorexia. She had cuts on her arms, and the cuts all disappeared. Gave her life to the Lord. There was a Pakistani guy there that was a Pakistani genuine member of the Taliban. He came into the meeting, and the power of God hit him, and he began to weep like a baby, gave his life to the Lord. I'm just telling you what's about to happen in Greenwich, Connecticut, because there's a people of God that have been crying out, "God, come! God, come!" And because that you have been willing and preparing to accommodate, I'm telling you, those that nobody else could win, those that nobody else could preach to, are about to come in, and all they're about to do is step in, and they're going to begin to encounter the presence and the power of God, and their life is about to be changed forever. That's the God I serve. That's the amazing God I serve. Come on, what's about to happen in this place? No way to describe it other than He is awesome. He is amazing. Come on, the unthinkable is about to happen. The impossible is about to happen in Greenwich, Connecticut. Come on, in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in your body. I'm telling you right now that what God has been doing the last 5 weeks is a setup. There's a holy setup for what He's about to do. I'm sorry, I'm a little Reformed Pentecostal. In the South, in Assembly of God, we scream because people don't listen if we don't. And just kidding. Come on. I believe right now something's about to happen. There's a divine exchange getting ready to take place. Come on, there's a divine exchange. 2 years ago, I was flying to Uganda, and I was a part of another church's team, and it was kind of an unusual team. I was going with Baptists and Methodists. I was kind of like the third wheel. And there was some closet Baptomatics. There were some Bapticostals in the mix. They prayed in tongues in their prayer closet, but they were a little nervous to do it out openly. And I had actually just come from Kensington, Connecticut, and I met the team in Amsterdam, and I was tired. I was just looking forward to sleeping the 8 hours to get to Entebbe. And as we were flying there, I just finished eating, and if you ever get the chance to eat on an airplane, don't. And I just finished eating, and I was just closing my eyes, and all of a sudden I felt a little tap on my shoulder, and it was this girl, Christy Williamson. She's a little 19-year-old girl from Odenville, Alabama. If you ever get the chance, don't go there. But Odenville, you wouldn't be able to find it if you looked for it. It's just in the middle of the sticks, and I've been there a few times, and great people. I mean, they cook really good fried chicken. If fried chicken's your thing, go to Odenville. And here we are, and I'm with this group, and we're flying, and all of a sudden I get this tap on my shoulder. 19-year-old girl, Christy Williamson, said, "Brother Dave." I said, "Sister Christy." She said, "What do you believe in God to do on this trip?" And I gave her the preacher answer. "Well, I'm believing for people to get saved and healed, delivered, set free, and glory to God, hallelujah." She tapped me on the shoulder again. She said, "Know what I'm believing for?" I said, "Nope, but I bet you're going to tell me." She said, "I'm believing to see what has never been seen before. I'm believing to see what has never been seen or done before." And I'm thinking, my faith leaped on the inside of me. I had to repent, because guess what happens? The thing that can happen if you're living a life of revival, when you got the supernatural flowing around you, it's very easy to get blinded by the familiar. And the moment a miracle just becomes another miracle, and the moment a prophecy just becomes another prophecy, the fire is going out. And soon you'll find yourself operating on your own and not operating in the presence of God. All I know is I never want to be blinded by the familiar. To me, there's no such thing as a little miracle. There's no such thing as a little healing. There's no such thing as a little prophecy. When God speaks, that's where I want to be. If God is moving, that's where I want to be. My prayer is this: God, do whatever you want to do. Just don't do it without me. And man, we landed in Entebbe and they didn't give us a chance to go get checked into a hotel or anything. Just as we were, they took us out to the crusade grounds. And we're out there and it's sweating sun and there are 40,000 people in a cow pasture waiting for us. And we get up there and all of a sudden we're on this rickety platform. Have you ever been to Africa? They don't really do building very well. And it took all my faith just to keep the platform up. Meanwhile, Christy is just scouring around. She's looking for the impossible. And she sees this mother holding this 3-year-old baby. And immediately, Christy is moved with compassion. She just starts weeping. She jumps off the platform, goes into the sea of people, which we told her not to do. She jumps off. She goes to where this mother is. She holds out her arms and she takes a hold of this baby. Now, this baby has many problems. The baby is deaf, the baby is blind, the baby can't speak, and the baby has Down syndrome. The baby's hands and feet are just webbed together. And they had told this mother, leave this baby by the road. It's going to be a burden to you all of your life. But this mother held on to this baby and loved this baby and received love from this baby and was holding her in this hot Africa sun. Christy moves into action. 19 years old. She saved up for 2 years to go on a missions trip. And has the expectation, God, I want to see what has never been seen before. And she grabs a hold of this baby and she prays over this baby and weeps over this baby. And the first day, the baby's eyes open and can see. The next day, the baby's ears open. The same thing. She grabs the baby, weeps over the baby, prays over the baby. The baby can hear, is responding to sound. The third day, she jumps off, she holds the baby, she weeps over the baby, prays over the baby. And the baby says, Yesu, Jesus in Lugandi. All of a sudden, the fourth day, she jumps down, she grabs a hold of the baby, weeps over the baby, cries over the baby, prays over the baby, and the Down syndrome face turns to normal, webbed fingers and open up. Because there was a young lady, 19 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit, unashamed of the gospel, who was willing to put God on the line. She was willing to take a risk to say, I'm going to look foolish unless God doesn't move. I'm going to look foolish unless God does what He says. Notice, Benny Hinn was nowhere to be found. Pastor Glenn was nowhere in Africa. David Wagner was on the platform praying for a platform to stay up. And there was a girl willing to invade the impossible. Because she had a promise from God that she found in the Bible, in the book of Mark 16 and 14, that said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Those that believe will be converted and saved. Those that reject it will be condemned. And these signs will follow they that believe. Are there any believers in this building tonight? In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they'll speak with other tongues. In my name, they'll raise the dead. In my name, they'll cast out demons. A 19-year-old girl who didn't go to revival, but became revival. It took the faith of the crusade to a whole new me, to a whole new level. See, I just believe in hanging around radical people. I just believe in hanging around what we call radical people that are really normal people. But because normal has been so abnormal, we think anybody moving in signs, wonders, and miracles is the exception instead of the norm. How many know God's bringing us back to normal? That's what He said tonight. When I was born again, God radically saved me. He woke me up from my 10th suicide attempt. I took 250 prescription pills, a bottle of gin, a 12-pack of beer, and lay down to die, or so I thought. I was dead. I dropped dead in a pastor's office. He didn't believe in resurrection, so he dialed 911. Thank God for 911. They resuscitated me. I spent 2.5 days in a coma. At the end of the 2.5 days, a bright light came in the room. The Lord said, son, I've not changed my mind about you. I've called you to go around the world preaching the gospel. Wherever you go, lives will be touched and changed. That's how I got saved. I just prayed this prayer. God, if you can love me when I can't love myself, I'll follow you the rest of the days of my life. And from that moment on, nothing religious really appeased me. It never pleased me. It was nothing ever I had a desire for. I just knew I was hungry for something. And all I knew I was hungry for was God. And I just wanted more of Him. I didn't know how to get it. I just wanted more of Him. And just through some steps after a year of being born again, I moved to Pensacola, Florida. And I was just hungry after the things of God. And I went to a grocery store one night, and there was a young Cajun guy named Shannon Abair. He's about this tall and talks Cajun. And he said, "I've seen you around the church, and you know what you're called to do?" And I said, "I think so. I think I'm a pastor." He said, "No, you're not a pastor. God's called you to be a prophet to the nations." I said, "Well, thank you very much. I guess that's good." And he said, "No, and God's telling me something else. You're going to see the dead raised." Well, something leaped on the inside of me. I got super excited. I didn't know there was going to be a waiting period involved. I just reasoned in my mind that the only way I would see dead people raised from the dead is if I prayed for dead people. So I started reading the obituaries. And I would put on this only suit I had. It was a green suit. It was ugly. But it was the best I had. My shoes were a little bit worn. The soles were coming apart. It looked like my shoe was talking everywhere I walked. And I would go to the funeral home. I'd go to Faith Chapel and I'd wait in line and I would just go, "I'm sorry for your loss. Please receive my sympathy." And I would just go and shake hands with everybody, and I would go up to the casket. Sometimes I would do this if it was Catholic. I don't know if I ever did it right. I just tried. I put my hand on the coffin and, "John, can you hear me, John? John, if you can hear me, blink." Sometimes I think they did. Their eyes weren't sewn shut. They'd open. I'm convinced. And I would do the whole charismatic thing. "John, in the name of Jesus, I command your spirit to come back in your body. You'll live and not die. Arise, John." And nothing would happen. So I'd go to Lewis Brother Funeral Home. I'd find Sister Bertha. "Sorry for your loss. My condolences." "Hey, Bertha, can you hear me?" No response. Then the funeral homes caught on to me and they blocked me from going to any more to funeral homes. So we had a man in our church who was the janitor of Sacred Heart Hospital. He was the head janitor. And I said, "Hey, Alan, do you have keys to everything?" He said, "Everything." I said, "Do you have keys to the morgue?" He said, "Are you some kind of freak?" I said, "No, I just have a word. I'm going to see the dead raised." And he said, "Okay, but if you get caught, you don't know me." I started praying for people and nothing happened. And then I got caught. To this day, they don't let me back in Sacred Heart Hospital. Unless my wife's having a baby. That's why we have five. Just so I keep going back. And I prayed for hundreds of dead people and nothing happened. And people said, "Did you ever get disappointed?" I just said, "No, I became more convicted." It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. My job was to pray for them. It was God's job to raise them. And here we are in the middle of Uganda. And a woman was walking and she was carrying a dead baby. Her baby had malaria, had a high fever. And she walked from the Congo border, was walking for 3 days. 6 hours before she got to the crusade ground where we also had a clinic. The baby died in her arms. And she carried this dead baby. She had to make up her mind. Do I bury the baby here? Do I go back to my village and bury the baby there? Or do I keep on coming? She said, "I just made up my mind. I refuse to be denied." And she kept on walking. As she was walking, rigor mortis set in the hot Africa sun. The flesh began to rot off. Flies began to swarm around, but she kept on coming. And she got to the platform, and there were security guards there that didn't want to let her on. So she took the dead baby's feet, and she started beating people out of the way. They moved pretty fast. And she got up on the platform, and she laid this dead baby at my feet. There was a Methodist pastor on my left. There was a Baptist pastor on my right. It was not time for a theological discussion. It was not time, do you think John Wesley would approve? Do you think in your Southern Baptist theology that this could happen today? We just knew if nothing happened, we would probably end up like that baby. So we asked for the baby's name, and his name was Johann. So we just said, Johann, in the name of Jesus, we command that you will live and not die. How many know he was already dead? We were declaring those things that are not as though they were. You will live and not die. You will declare the works and the word of the Lord. We command your spirit to come back in your body. Live again, Johann, live again. And all of a sudden, his stiff body went limp. His body that was all had been eaten up with just rotting flesh began to close up. All of a sudden, this little boy sat straight up. He began to sneeze 7 times. We gave him some water. He ate a little bit of food. And God raised that dead baby from the dead. And let me tell you something. Nobody had to preach after that. But 3 hours later, while we were having another service, he was playing soccer behind the platform. Can I tell you something? Our God is the God who raises the dead. And I know that was Uganda and this is Greenwich. But my God is the same God in Greenwich, Connecticut, in Purchase, New York, in Westchester County, in Fairfield County, in New York. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason I'm sharing these stories and testimonies with you tonight is to build your faith. Because ready or not, here he comes. Ready or not, here he comes. Tell you something tonight. That same God is in this room. That same God is in this room. One more testimony, I'm almost done. I was in Australia. It was one of those nights that they ran me 4 meetings. I went 8 in the morning, 11 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon. To an elders meeting, then I did a 6 o'clock meeting. My math is bad, that's already 5 meetings. And then afterwards, we did this young adults meeting in a place called the Upper Room. How many know if you go to the Upper Room, you're just in trouble? And God was moving, and I had a fly out. I had to drive to the airport about 4 in the morning. So it was about 11 at night. I was getting ready to just kind of dismiss everybody and pray a nice little prayer. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, give everybody in the room a word. So I thought, okay. Peace, love, joy, hope, prayer. But after the first person, it just went on and on. About 3 o'clock in the morning, there was 3 people left. And here I was, and this young lady was there, and I just started praying for her. And the Lord said, tell her I'm healing her scars. And I just said, the Lord wants you to know that he's healing your scars. And I almost said, in your heart. The Lord said, don't say in your heart, just say I'm healing your scars. I said, the Lord says, he's healing your scars. And all of a sudden, she said, I feel like fire. And she rolls up her sleeves. And where she had thousands of cuts, she was a cutter and just self-mutilated herself. All of a sudden, before our eyes, all of those cuts and scars disappeared. The next guy was a heroin addict and all of his track marks disappeared. The next guy was standing there half drunk. He got completely sober. Afterwards, after they gave their life to the Lord, filled with the Spirit, God did miracles in their lives. They said, hey, can we go to Macker's? And that's what they call McDonald's. And I think there's never a good time to eat Macker's, but I guess 3 o'clock in the morning is as good as any. And so we stopped there for heart attack on a plate. And I guess after you get healed, you got to give God some more stuff to heal. And we go there, and it's totally this setup. We walk in, and they're ordering, and I'm kind of looking at the clock like I've got to go to the airport in an hour. And all of a sudden, there's these 2 Australian policemen there. And the girl who just had her arms healed, the scars disappear, doesn't even think. She just goes up to the police and says, do you got a problem with your back? The guy said, yes, I've had 3 back surgeries. I need another one, but if I have it, I lose my job and my pension. She doesn't even ask him. She just lays her hand on him and starts praying. The policeman falls out in McDonald's. I'm looking at his partner. His partner don't know what to do. He's grabbing the gun. He's I'm thinking, whoa, 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 Holy Ghost hijacking. And the guy gets up and he can bend and he touches his toes and he starts moving around and the cop gets saved and the partner gets saved and McDonald's workers start falling out. Revival now left the church building and is happening in McDonald's at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I thought God only showed up on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Shows up in McDonald's. Not flowing through me, flowing through these people who have just been radically touched and changed by the power of God. When I was leaving, there were people laid out in the parking lot. They had orange cones around them. It looked like a crime scene. Those people are on fire. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm here to tell you, you're about to have prophetic encounters with God, provisional encounters with God, angelic encounters with God. You're going to have dreams and visions. You're about to see the power of God manifest itself like never before. I'm just giving you a little preview about what's about to happen over the next 5 weeks. Come on, I'm here to tell you that God's about to release you into the summer of the supernatural. And it doesn't matter who has this microphone, wherever there are hungry people. Come on, I'm not a big formula guy. But I believe Jesus gave the formula for revival. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled, they will be satisfied. All I know is there's a room full of hungry people in this place tonight. And God's about to satisfy you. Come on, I believe that there were corporate words that you can make personal words tonight. I believe there were some things that God was speaking that were directed right at you. And right now in this place, I believe there's about to be an invasion of the impossible. Come on, I believe that this is going to be a cancer-free zone. I believe you can walk in with it, but you can't walk out without it. Come on, I believe that God is about to release this to be a cancer-free zone. That people, when they hit the parking lot, when they hit the doors of the church, cancer is going to leave. Tumors are going to melt. Come on, I believe that God wants you to invade the impossible. I have three words that are strong, burning in me from the time I got up this morning to the time I got on the plane to the time I landed here to the time in my hotel. God said He's healing brains, blood, and bones. Brains, blood, and bones. Tonight in this place, whatever you need God to be, He already is. See, I believe while some of you have been sitting here, God's been healing you. See, I believe there's coming a day where nobody will have to lay hands on you. I love laying hands on people. I believe in that doctrine. But when the healer lays hands on you, come on, I believe that God is about, listen, the days of hit and miss Christianity are coming to an end. You know what hit and miss Christianity is? Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. I believe that God's about to release 100% healing here. To His glory, to His honor. Come on, I feel something stirring right now. I feel the electricity and the power of God flowing through me right now. Right now in this place. Come on, in the last 60 days, I'm just bragging on Jesus a minute. In the last 60 days, we've seen autism healed. In the last 60 days, we've seen MS healed. Cancer healed. Come on, we've seen schizophrenia leave people. People delivered from suicide. Come on, we've seen the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. It's just normal in the kingdom. Come on, you're about to step into a new normal. Brains, blood, and bones. Brains, blood, and bones. If that's you, you have an issue, a disorder, some kind of disease with your brain, I want you to come stand on this first line. If you have a disease with your blood, I want you to come to the second line. If you have a disease with bones, I want you to come here. Brains, blood, and bones. I'm just doing it so we can do it decently in order. Jesus, nothing with you is impossible. Lord, right now in this place, Lord, you reveal because you want to heal. Listen, God reveals because he wants to heal. Brains, blood and bones. See, I believe some of you already stepped into your miracle right now. Anybody in this room today, you have cancer. Just if you have cancer, I want you just to wave your hand at me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in me, is living in my brother right now. Lord, I command every cancer cell to be removed from this body. I command his body to line up with the Word of God right now. Lord, I curse the curse. And Lord, I release the blessing of heaven over him right now. Lord, I declare right now, in the name of Jesus, by your stripes, Jesus, he is healed. Lord, it's already done. Lord, I thank you for an infusion of the blood of Jesus to flow through his veins right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the same way you healed me of leukemia, Lord, I release that same healing Jesus into him right now. Lord, you're no respecter of persons. Lord, the same way you've healed my pastor of colon cancer in the last couple of days, Lord, I release that same healing Jesus in him right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, I want you just to receive. I want you to become like a sponge. Here's what I want you to know. I might share a little bit about this tomorrow. But in 2010, I was in a near airplane crash. And then I had malaria, typhoid fever, and leukemia. I died literally flatlined 3 times. Had a visitation with the Lord. And when I looked into the Lord's eyes, I could describe how he looked with one word: determined. He's determined that you have everything that he paid for 2,000 years ago. You don't have to earn healing. It's already been paid for. Listen, you don't have to earn healing. It's already been paid for. When God looks at you, he has mercy on his mind. Jesus healed more people out of compassion than for any other reason. And I feel the compassion and the love of God in this room right now. I want you to just take the position that it's already done. I want you to take the position that he wants you to have it. Come on, he's a loving father. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I release healing to my brother's brain right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, I release the healing hand of God. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that you sent your word and healed our diseases. So Lord, I send your word right now. Lord, I speak your word over them. Lord, you said we could lay hands on the sick, they would recover. So Lord, right now, I release the determination of heaven that this son is healed tonight, in Jesus' name. Come on, son, there's still work to be done. Still people to touch. I heard this prayer on your lip. God, just give me one more. Let me win one more. Lord, I release right now the anointing of evangelism upon him. Lord, when he would tell his story, that Lord, you would release your glory. I release healing right now in Jesus' name. Father, I release healing right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. There it is, take it. In Jesus' name. Jesus, touch my brother right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Take it, Jesus. Touch his brain right now. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. You took the crown of thorns upon your head. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Like a power surge going through you right now in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name.